Acts chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 24. I'm really excited to speak to you today, and one of the reasons for that is I know, I can remember, it was 17 years ago now, I can remember being at a camp like this one as a teenager, and God did a work in my heart that really was a turning point in my life. You know, I think of the way the Lord has allowed me the real privilege of being a pastor and of helping people and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't think I'd be doing that if God hadn't done a mighty work in my heart when I was sitting where you are sitting. And what had happened in my life, I got saved at a young age. I'm very grateful that my parents, God put a desire in their heart to understand the gospel and to know God in a personal way. And when I was just a young person, my mom and dad trusted Jesus Christ. And from that point on, I got to hear the good news and the gospel. I got to go to a Bible preaching church, Lifegate Baptist Church. Could never have imagined that my dad would be the pastor, as he now is and has been for many years. But I remember going to church and hearing the gospel. And through that, I came to a realization that I, as a young person, even though I was young, that like anybody, I had sinned and that I needed to be saved. And I remember asking the Lord Jesus to save my soul in my own, the dining room in our house as a young person. And I'm so grateful that God worked in my heart and brought me to salvation. But, you know, I remember there were several years as a young person where I struggled in following Jesus, okay? I struggled in following Jesus. Let me say, it does not have to happen in your teen years. Some of the mightiest men and women of God in their teen years followed Jesus, and God used their lives in a remarkable way. And I truly believe that. And I think our theme this week is not just, a far-off dream. You can turn the world upside down. I hope you believe that, young person, that you can turn the world upside down. But I remember, you know, struggling in some key ways in my life. I remember my relationship with my parents was not good. I was not listening to them. We were at odds, okay? I remember struggling with wrong friends, okay? The young lady who gave a testimony. What is your name again? Shane Bagu. Shane Bagu. Okay, very good. I could identify with that testimony. I could remember, you know, as a young person, struggling in my relationship with my parents, hanging around with friends that weren't saved, you know, and just wanting to blend in with them, you know, and do what they were doing. And but when I came to that camp, I often say, I really believe in some ways I didn't come to that camp looking for God. I think God was at work in my life. But God came to that camp looking for me. And as I heard the preaching, God worked in my heart and he brought me to a point of surrender where I said, Lord, I give you my life and Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do as a teenager. And, you know, I've been growing ever since and I'm still not perfect and I still have many ways in which I need to grow, but it was never the same after that. That surrender made a huge difference in my heart and in my life. And that's the reason that I'm excited to open the Word of God to you today. And to preach the Word of God. And I hope that the things that we talk about together this afternoon will really help you. So I'm going to pray now and ask God to help us as we go into this preaching time. I would ask you to pray with me and open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, will you tell me what you have for me? Because, Lord, I want to hear from you. So let's pray and then we'll look at Acts 20, verse 24. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're together today. God, we know that you have brought us here. And Father, that this is a blessing and a privilege. Now, God, I just ask you, Father, will you speak to our hearts? Lord, will you do what only you can do? Lord, there's nothing clever that I can say that will help anyone here. Lord, try as we might, Lord, we're not going to be able in our own strength, Lord, to live the truth that we will hear today because, Lord, we're weak. And so, God, we ask you, Lord, will you work in our hearts? And then, Lord, by your Spirit's power, will you enable us, Lord, to live the truth that we hear today. Lord, I pray that you will make a life-changing difference in our hearts and lives. And God, we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. If you can say it while we read along. I'm going to read along just to make sure I don't get it wrong. But if you have it memorized and you can say it with me, okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Okay. This was Paul's goal in life, in this verse. This was what he focused on and what he arranged his whole life about. I want you to notice, very simply, that in the second part of the verse, Paul wanted to do two things, okay? He wanted to finish his course with joy, and he wanted to complete the ministry which the Lord Jesus had given him to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Those were the two goals of his life, okay? Now, let's talk about those for a moment. Everything in his life was arranged around those two goals, like an athlete competing to win a gold medal. Everything about his life was focused on those two goals. Notice he says, none of these things move me. Even the difficulties that would come into his life and all the hardships that he had faced did not stop him from pursuing those goals, because he was set on those two goals. Notice, secondly, he says, neither count on my life dear unto myself. You know, he didn't protect and hold on to his life and what he liked and what people thought of him and all those things that we can, if we're not careful, we can spend our lifetime protecting. He didn't protect those things. He said, I am going to follow Jesus. I want to finish my course with joy, and I want to complete the mission he has given me. And I don't care what happens to me, you know. And no wonder God used the Apostle Paul in a remarkable way and literally turned the world upside down, the world of his day, through his life and through his ministry. But I want you to notice these two goals. Notice he said, I want to finish my course with joy. You know, you're young right now. We've got people of all ages, probably from 7 years old right up to 17, 18, young people that are here, part of the camp. And adults that are helping, and college-age young people that are helping. And I just want you to know, really appreciate all the work that goes into camp. There are three young people from our church here this year, Jordan Killeen and Simon and Anya Bazinski. And I know that they're having a great time, and God is working in their hearts as they're here. And I'm just really grateful for all the work that goes in to make this possible. And I hope, young people, that you will thank your leaders and the people that have worked so hard to put this camp together. But you know, Paul's goal was to finish his course with joy. And young people, you might be here today, and you're young. You don't give much thought to the end of your life. But you know, we all need to give thought to the end of our life sooner or later, okay? There's two important things that need to be in place for us to finish our course with joy. First of all, you have to be saved, okay? You know, you can be having a great old time as a young person and enjoying your life, but if you never recognize that, like all of us, you are a sinner and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to wash your sins away and to give you forgiveness, it will not be joyful at the end of your life, okay? That's real, okay? So the first way that we need to be finish our course with joy is to be saved. You know, Luke chapter 9 and verse 25 says, if a man should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul, what will it profit him? And that is so true. Young person, you might be having a great time, but you know, if God has spoken to your heart this week and you're even not sure that you are saved, let me urge you, so that you can finish your course with joy, make sure that you are saved. Make sure that you know that you're forgiven. Because you know what? I believe God does not want you to leave this camp without getting that settled. If God has spoken to your heart, make that sure. Speak to somebody if you need help to understand this word. But make sure that you know that you're saved, that you're forgiven. A second way that we can finish our course with joy, and I believe this is the primary thing that the Apostle Paul was speaking about. We can finish our course with joy by living our life according to what God wants us to do and be, rather than what the world or what even we ourselves want to do and to be. We can finish our course with joy. You know, if you're here today and you're saved, There will come a day when you and I will stand before Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when we stand before Jesus Christ, the Lord's goal is not to catch us out or to judge us. And certainly the point of it is not that we will be cast into hell. The point of that judgment is so that Jesus Christ can reward us for following Him and for the things that we have done that have pleased Him. Okay? But you know, if we live our lives and we just disregard what God wants us to do and we do our own thing, when we come to that point where we stand before Jesus, it won't be a joyous time. It won't be a happy day. There will be regret there. And as young people, you know, you may tend to just enjoy life, and that's great, okay? But give thought to the end of your life. Think, when I stand before Jesus, how will it be? You know, no excuses will make up for the fact that we've not followed Jesus in that day. You know, we're going to stand before Him, and He will say, what did you do with the life that I gave you? Have you lived for me? You know, Paul had that in mind, and it affected everything he said, everything he thought, everything he did. He said, I'm going to stand before Jesus. And you know the old saying, you can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. But you know what? You can't fool Jesus. And you're going to stand before Him someday. And there's going to be no excuses. You know, He will know what you are when no one else is looking. So the goal for us is to finish our course with joy, to live in a way that pleases Him. Notice also he said he wanted to, at the end of verse 24, he says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, Paul recognized that there was a call on his life to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Let me just say two things about that for you and for me. I want you to recognize, young person, that God has a mission for your life. God has a mission for your life. If you will surrender your life to Him and you will seek that mission that He has for you, He has a mission for you individually. He has a will for you. Do you believe that today? Raise your hand if you believe God has a mission for you. Would you be courageous enough to raise your hand? God has a mission for you, okay? Good job. God has a mission for you. Do you want to find out that mission and do it with all your heart? Okay? I think everybody is suffering from the lack of sleep, yeah? How many of you are tired? Okay? Okay. Everybody. The leaders are putting up two hands. Yeah. Sarah's putting up two hands. Yeah, we're tired, aren't we? Okay. Do you believe that God has a mission for your life? I'm going to tell you a story, okay? I remember one time I was in America and we were traveling around visiting churches, and a friend of mine, he called me, he lives in Michigan, and he said to me, this is a complete rabbit trail, okay, I make no apology, this has nothing to do with the message, okay, right, okay. But this friend of mine, he lives in Michigan, he's a pastor of a church there near Detroit, and he rang me up and he said, I'm having a tent meeting, so we're pitching a giant tent outside our church, and we're having some people come and preach. They said, we're going to have a pig roast, okay? How many of you know what a pig roast is? Okay? We're going to cook a whole pig, and we're going to eat that pig for lunch. It's going to be delicious. And it was. It was wonderful. Well, I left on this trip, okay? And we were staying about 9 hours from where I was going to preach, okay? So I went on a 9-hour journey to get to Ortonville, where I was going to preach. And I hadn't been feeling well. I had been sick in the week before that. And my wife, being the loving wife that she is, she said, honey, here is some tablets that you can take because you've been sick. Okay? And so she gave me some tablets. And, of course, I trust my wife implicitly. I would trust her with my life. Okay? So I took those tablets. Okay? And so I got in the car and... Willie Doyle was accompanying me on the trip, and he was in Rockford, I picked him up, and we headed on. And we're driving for maybe 7-8 hours, and we start getting close to the church. And I tell you, I started to feel so sick. My stomach was killing me. I mean, I was in intense pain. We were driving along the road, and I reclined the seat right back like you would if you were going to go to sleep. And I was driving like this because my stomach was so sore. And I kept saying to Willie, "Willie, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I don't know what's wrong. I feel so awful. My stomach hurts so bad. I think I am going to die," you know. And Willie, of course, being the good friend that he is, laughed at me, you know. So we're driving along there, and so I said, "Let's stop," you know. So we stopped, and we did a Superman. We ran into the toilets and got changed, so we were ready for church. And then we ran out looking completely different than we went in. All the people in the restaurant looked at us and thought we were crazy. But we got back in the van, and we drove the last bit to the meeting, and we made it in time for the service. And there we were, sitting in the tent, and another guy got up and preached. I was to preach the next day, and another guy got up and preached. And, you know, I was uncomfortable, but, you know, I made it through that service. And so the service ends, and we go back to stay with the pastor. And so it's time to go to bed, and I call my wife, and I said, "How are you? How's it going?" You know, I said, "The strangest thing happened." I said, "You know, I was driving on my way to go to this meeting, and I became so sick. My stomach hurt so bad." And she started laughing as well. This is my wife. And she started laughing. In fact, I couldn't get any sense out of her. She was laughing so hard. And she's laughing, and she's laughing, and she's laughing. And finally she gets a hold of her, and I said, "Why are you laughing?" And she said, "Because I know why you were sick." And I said, "Why was I sick?" And she said, "Because I gave you those tablets for laxatives, which make you go to the bathroom." She never told me, so I said, "Heather, I'm going to kill you when I get back to Milwaukee." But there was a flip side, because I had to preach after the pig roast the next day, and I was able to tell that story, and it kept everyone awake. So that was it was a good a good thing. But again, that was I'm not apologizing. That was a rabbit trail. It had nothing to do with the message. Okay, so let's go back to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Now, we're talking about Paul's goals, okay? We're talking about the goals that he had. Now, I want you to think of an athlete that is training to win a gold medal, okay? You know, when you see, I remember watching the Olympics a couple of summers ago and watching a guy named David Rudisha. He's a Kenyan runner, and he's unbelievably fast. He's this long, slender African guy, and man, he is so fast. He has blown all sorts of records, okay? Now, when you look at David Rudisha, you know, did he wake up the week before the Olympics and say, "You know, I think I'll enter a race and try to win a gold medal in the Olympics"? Did he do that?
No.
Did it start the week before the Olympics? No. You know, David Rudisha started training when he was about this guy's age. How old are you, sir? 8? Okay, he's 8. This guy's 8. You know, David Rudisha started training when he was 8 years old. He started training younger than that. In primary school, it's amazing, he was trained by an Irish guy who taught him how to run at first. It was a priest from Ireland that was working in the primary school there, and he actually taught this guy how to run. But this guy, he started training. You know, as David Rudisha got ready to go to the Olympics, he started thinking of every meal he ate. He started thinking every day, what am I going to have to do in order to win this race? And you know, when he stood at the finish line and he had won that gold medal, it was the fruit of years of being focused on that goal of winning a gold medal at the Olympics. And it affected everything he did day by day. You know, I believe it was the same for the Apostle Paul. He focused on these two goals. He said, "I want to finish my course with joy. I want to stand before Jesus and have his approval that I have lived a life that was pleasing to him. I want to complete the mission that Jesus has given me." You know, I believe Pastor Ledbetter will talk more about this evening, but, you know, our mission is the same as Paul's. You know, he may have a specific mission for you and a specific way of working this out in your life, but, you know, we all have the same mission, and it's the mission that Paul had, that we would testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, young person, that's how this world is going to be turned upside down. But you know, if we are going to achieve that goal, and if we are going to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given us, it is going to take some thought now when you are a young person. You're not going to wake up someday when you're 72 and say, oh, you know, I don't know how long I have now. Maybe I should start living for Jesus. You know, it's going to start today. It's going to start now. And the area that Pastor Ledbetter asked me to talk about is the people that are in our life. You know, the title of our session is We Need Each Other. If we are going to achieve those goals in our life, if we're going to live a life that pleases Jesus, if we're going to fulfill the mission He has for us, we're not going to do it alone. You know, there is no such thing as a self-made Christian. All of us have been helped and blessed and encouraged by others in our lives. You know, it's God's plan. You look into the New Testament and God uses people to disciple people. He uses people to encourage other people. It's God's plan. And the biggest thing, that a huge thing that can help us to achieve God's goals for our lives is very simply for us to understand how to relate to the people God has put in our lives. How to relate to them, okay? How to relate to them. I want to talk, first of all, to you about the authorities in your life, okay? I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5, okay? First Peter chapter 5, with me, okay? It's a very important lesson for all of us to learn how to relate to those that God has put in our lives to lead us, okay? It's very important, okay? And it's there's never a time in our life when it's unimportant. If you're thinking, well, you know, someday I'll be my own person, you know, and I'll be grown up and I'll be able to do whatever I like. You know, we all have authorities in our life. Our ultimate authority is God. And if we learn how to respond in a right way to those authorities, it will help us to achieve God's goals for our life. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 5 through 7. I'm going to read them for you. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says this. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Every person in this room, no matter what age you are, there are leaders in your life that tell you what you should do, and God has put them there. Let me ask you, how do you respond to the leaders in your life? You know, I just testified, I remember a time, part of my teenage years, you know, as a young person, I was not listening to my parents, you know. I was not listening to my pastor. I was not listening, you know, there was even, in some senses, I wasn't even too concerned about what the government wanted me to do. Now, I never got into any major crime, but, you know, it could easily have gone that way, I'm sure. I wasn't too concerned about what the government wanted me to do. The different authorities that were in my life, I thought they didn't know anything. And, you know, pride can stop you from achieving God's goals for your life and being what God wants you to be. And it shows up very often in how we interact with the leaders God has put in our life. It's very important. Notice what God says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Okay? God has put leaders in your life. Now, let me talk for a minute about the word submit. Okay? Submission is not a very popular topic in our day and age. Everybody, we want to do our own thing. We're individuals. And we don't like the idea of submission. But let me just talk for a minute about what submission is. Okay? Submission is very, very simply, the word sub, that English prefix always means under. Okay? And this is the simple definition of what submit means. When God puts a leader in your life, that you are going to put what you want under what they want. You're going to put what you want under what they want. that you are going to recognize God's put them in your life, and you're going to put what you want under what they want. Now, the only exception, and I might talk a little bit more about this in a moment, the only exception is that if a leader in your life tells you to do something that God tells you not to do, or they tell you not to do something God told you to do. But you know what? That is the very rare case, I think, that most young people face. The main reason that we don't submit to authority is because we don't want to, right? We don't want to. We have better ideas. And submission is very, very simply when you make what your leader wants in your life more important than what you want. I have in my hand a 20-euro note. How many of you would like that 20-euro note? Well, you're not getting it, okay? But I'm glad you want it, okay? And here's a 2-euro coin, all right? Okay? Which is worth more? Of course, the 20-euro note, right? Okay? Now, very often in our lives, we have, you think of your relationship with your parents, okay? You know, you might have trouble doing what your parents ask you to do because in reality, what you want is way more valuable to you than what they tell you to do, okay? And so it becomes very difficult to do what they are asking you to do, and you have conflict then, okay? Yeah, they're asking you to do things that are legitimate. They're not against the Bible. They're right things, and they're asking you to do those things, and you're saying, I don't want to do that. And the reason being is because what you want is more important. Submission is when you put what you want under what the leader in your life wants. Now, obviously, the ultimate leader is God. He is our authority. He is the ultimate authority, okay? But God has also put other human leaders in our life. And the way we interact with them, sometimes it shows whether we are characterized by being humble or by being proud, very simply. And this is so simple, okay? But here's what submission is. It's when you make what God and what the legitimate human leaders that he's put in your life, you make that a 20-euro note, and you make your desires a 2-euro note, and you say, I am going to put what I want under what God wants for me and what the human leaders that he's put in my life want for me. And I'm going to do what they are asking. That's so simple. But that is a huge thing. Do you know what? It is a choice that you must make. In other words, your parents, you might have parents that love you and they say, hey, you need to do what we ask you to do, and they insist on that. And if you have parents like that, let me just say this. Be grateful to God for them, because it is a loving parent who will go against sometimes what that young person wants and say, I want you to do this because I feel it's the best thing for you. Okay? Be grateful for parents like that. But you know, you have got to make the choice in your heart to submit to them. Notice what our verse says. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That you've got to make that choice. It is important. It's your responsibility. Let me ask you this question. Have you made that decision? Have you decided not only to trust God and to follow him, but to trust him and to follow the leaders that he's put in your life? Young person, think about your parents, you know. No parents are perfect. I'm a parent. My kids are at the back of the room, okay? And they know I'm not a perfect parent. I know I'm not a perfect parent. But you know what? God has placed me in Ruth and Abby and Sarah's life to give them leadership. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we tend to think, I don't need parents. They don't have anything to tell me that I don't know, you know? Listen, God wouldn't have given you parents if you didn't need parents, okay? And they may not be perfect, but God has given them to you, and it will help you towards God's goals for your life if you will submit to those he's put in your life. You know, I don't have time to talk much about this point, but you know, the same quality that makes a good follower is the same quality that makes a good leader. It's humility. Somebody who can humble themselves and can recognize that they need the input of somebody else. Somebody who has that humility, they'll be a good follower, but you know, someday they'll be a good leader. Why? Because they're humble enough to listen to God, and they'll be a great leader. So if you follow well, one day you will lead well. Now, I want to get down to verse 7. because this can really help us. Particularly as you get older, sometimes you can have conflict with the leaders in your life because, you know what? You're growing and developing and you have your own ideas. And sometimes you feel like you have better ideas than your leaders, okay? And that can be, it can be very hard at that point, okay? But this is a very simple truth that has helped me. And it says in verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Okay? Do you know, we're very familiar with that verse, but it's actually talking about relating to human leaders. In that we don't need to worry and be fearful that we can trust God and we can follow the leaders he's put in his life. Again, as long as they don't tell us to do something that violates God's will, we can follow them and we can trust them. And it will do us good. You know, the idea here is literally casting all your worry upon God because he worries for you. You know, he will take care of you. You can trust him and you can follow those leaders that he's put in your life. You know, we worry because we think we know better. And that can get us into a lot of trouble. But when we can recognize, now hold on, God has put the leaders in my life that are in my life. And we can trust them. And we can respond in a right way to them trying to lead us. You know, we can no longer worry. We can have peace in our hearts and we can follow. And we'll have a good relationship with those God's put over us. You know, I had a real example of this. I remember as a college-age young person, I remember traveling with a evangelistic team. And there was a guy, my friend Sam, were exactly the same age. And Sam, he was the foreman on the team. Okay, and very simply, Sam and I, we had some conflict because he was the same age as me, but he was the foreman. He told us what to do. We'd be setting up for sports. We'd be setting up for preaching services. And he had done it before, and he was supposed to tell us what to do. Now, what I found was sometimes I felt I knew better than him. And rows would break out, you know. And me and Sam, we would not be friends for a little while, you know, because I'd say, no, I don't think we should do it that way. I think we should do it this way, you know. But he was the one that, the evangelist that was leading the team and had invited me to come and travel with them. He was the one who had said that Sam should guide us as we did everything. And I remember this verse helped me that week because I recognized, you know what, I don't need to worry about it. That didn't mean that I didn't sometimes give input. But I resolved in my heart, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what Sam asked me to do. Yeah, he might be the same age as me. Yeah, I might have ideas. But there's multiple, valid ways to do something. And I'm going to listen to him and do what he's asking me to do. And you know what? We didn't fight anymore. No more rows, you know. Why? Because I humbled myself and this verse helped me. And I recognized, I don't have to worry about this. I can trust the Lord. I can follow. And it will be okay. And you know, young person, do you find that you have conflict with your parents? Maybe they're asking you to do things, and you're just fighting with them. It's such a simple, simple thing. Have you submitted to the elder, those that are older than you? Have you submitted to them? Have you recognized, oh, hold on, God put them in my life, and I need them? You know, the key issue is humility. Pride is when you have a God complex, right? I am all powerful. I am all knowing. I am all sufficient, you know? I don't need anybody's help. I don't need anybody's wisdom or input. I've got it all figured out. But what is humility? Humility is when you get over that God complex and you recognize, hold on, I need God. And I need those people he's put in my life as well. And you begin to let them have input in your life. Wow, that is an amazing moment for us to come to. Now, I want to talk about one more thing before we close. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. You know, friends in your life, young person, are something that can make or break you, okay? You know, if you want to follow God and you want to finish your course with joy, your friends are going to be super important in you getting to that goal, okay? How many of you would agree with that? You'd raise your hand. That I agree with that. It's very important. Let me tell you this. You know what? Your friends influence you. But you know, your choice of friends also sometimes reveals your heart towards God. You know, my grandfather had this saying, maybe you've heard it before, but he had this saying, water finds its own level. You know, sometimes we are attracted to people that are like us. We make friends with people that are like us. And, you know, we're all growing and we're not perfect. But let me ask you this question. What does your choice of friends say about your heart for God? What does your choice of friends say about your heart for God? Do you choose just friends that are fun? Do you choose just friends that are popular? And there's nothing wrong, you know, per se with being fun or popular. Or do you choose friends that have a heart for God like you have a heart for God? Sometimes we're choosing the friends we choose because there's really not much going on between us and God. And we find people that have a similar outlook on life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, it says this. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, Timothy was a young man. Some scholars say that Timothy was as young as 16 years old as he pastored the church there at Ephesus. But you know, Paul writes to him and he said, flee youthful lusts. Run away from those things that young people struggle with particularly. Sinful things. Things that will not help you to finish your course with joy. But he didn't just say flee youthful lusts. He said follow after these positive things, these godly things, with who? With those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is such a simple thing. But you know, if you want to follow Jesus and you want to finish your course with joy, choose your friends carefully. Choose friends. And notice what the verse says. That call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The idea of a pure heart is a surrendered heart. Is a heart that is composed of one thing. A heart that is not partly after the world and partly after God, but a heart that is fully after God. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be blunt. I would rather have no friends than hang around with friends that were following after the world and had no desire to follow God. And I know friends are important to you as young people, but you know, less friends is better than loads of friends that do have no desire to follow God. Friend, it can help you incredibly if you will choose friends wisely. And you know, you may need to ask yourself the question, you know, why am I hanging around with the people I'm hanging around with? You know, why am I hanging around with them? You know, they don't seem to have much of a heart for God. I do. I need to gravitate towards people. Let me just say this. Don't overlook people that are not your age, people that are a bit older than you. You know, you can have godly friends that maybe are not the exact same age as you. You know, you might find some godly people in your church that are following God, and that you might be able to have friends that are not the same age as you. You know what? Get close to your pastor and to those that are you can see are following God in your church. Make it your job to spend time with them on purpose. It will help you to grow. You know, we really could afford to spend a lot less time with the funny boys and spend time with other believers who, yeah, might like to have fun, but they're following Jesus. That would help us, and that would help us in a great way. I remember starting a new job. I was a teenager, and I was starting a new job. And I remember a friend of mine, he's a preacher, he said this to me. He said, he quoted Ephesians 6:15, says it's part of the armor of God. And it talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he explained to me something I didn't understand up to that point, that Roman soldiers wore sandals on their feet that had spikes like football boots. And the reason that those spikes were on their feet, so that as they would stand fighting in hand-to-hand combat, that they could not be pushed back because those spikes would dig into the ground and they could hold their position and keep fighting. Okay? And I remember this evangelist, he said to me, he said, you know what? He said, as you start this new job, I challenge you to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let people know that you're a Christian. Right off the bat. Don't be one of these undercover Christians. Let people know that you're Christian. And you know, I did that, and it was a huge help to me in that job. You know, I suddenly found, you know, some people just, they didn't really want to hang around with me, you know, because they didn't want to know about the gospel, you know. But I did find that I had some good opportunities with other people because everybody knew where I stood. Don't be an undercover Christian with your friends, okay? Let them know that you're a Christian and you're trying to follow Jesus. And this will help you in so many ways in your life. So let me ask you as we close. First of all, as you think about the leaders in your life, you think about your parents. Do you have conflict with them today? You know? Is there tension? Is there sometimes arguments? And if you were honest, would you have to say, you know what? It's my fault. You know, no parent is perfect. But, you know, you would have to say, it's my fault. Because I've never made that choice to submit. I've never made that choice to put what I want under what my parents want. And think of other leaders in your life. My challenge to you in that regard today is this. Make a decision. How long halt you between two opinions? Are you going to say, Lord, I trust you and you've put certain leaders in my life, and by your grace, I'm going to follow them unless they tell me to do something that violates your supreme authority. Lord, I'm going to follow them. Are you going to make that choice? Okay? So very, very simple. And second of all, let me ask you this. What has God spoken to your heart about with respect to friends? You know, what do the friends that you choose tell you about your walk with God? Maybe you need to make some changes. Maybe, and you know, I'm not talking about, you know, being horrible to somebody and saying, hey, I'm just dropping you because you're a horrible person. That's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, you may need to be vocal about the fact that you're following Jesus. You know, I remember, you know, shortly after surrendering my life to the Lord as a teenager, this guy I used to hang around with. And as I told him, listen, I'm a Christian, I'm trying to follow Jesus, and I tried to share the gospel with him. Do you know what? He didn't want to hang around with me anymore. But you know what? That wasn't a bad thing. Because one thing, he heard the gospel. And thing two, there wasn't that influence to do the wrong thing, because he knew where I stood. You know, what do your friends tell you about your heart for God? You know, choose your friends wisely. And so, as we've looked at these goals that Paul had for his life, let me ask you, like that athlete, are you arranging your life in the relationships that you have to achieve that goal, to finish your course with joy, and to fulfill the mission that Jesus Christ has for you? You know, if not, be honest with God and make some decisions, some black and white decisions in your life about how things are going to be going forward. You know, it's all right and fine to come and to listen to the preaching and say, that's a great message. But what are you going to do about it? Let's pray this afternoon. Father, thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And God, I just praise you for working in my own heart and life. And Lord, for I just praise you, Lord. I have nothing to be proud of, everything to be grateful for. God, you've been so good to me. And Lord, I pray for these young people now, as they've heard your word, Lord, that you would help them to be honest with you and with themselves, Lord, in these moments. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. This is just between you and God.